Leprosy is mentioned in both the first reading and the gospel reading. I don't know about you, but of all the things I worry about in life, leprosy is not one of them. And this could be because we've done a pretty good job at containing and understanding and treating leprosy. Just a few years ago, there were only 189 chronic cases reported of leprosy, new cases. And we compare that to the 1980s, there were 5.2 million cases that were reported. So we've come a long way in treating the physical reality of this disease of leprosy. But I think if we go back and look at the spiritual and emotional realities of leprosy in Jesus' time, it would help us to understand why this is an important topic to look at. In Jesus' time, they knew that leprosy was contagious. So they knew that it was spread from person to person. As a result, many restrictions, very strict restrictions, were put on those who had leprosy. So for starters, a leper would be banned from society. They had to live outside of their camp, their village, or their city. Now let that sink in for a while. Imagine that you would never get a hug from your parents again. Imagine you would never, ever again talk to your brothers and sisters. And imagine what it'd be like knowing that you would never see your friends again or have any companionship in your life. In a sense, you were the living dead. Additionally, as we heard in today's first reading, if you were out in exile and someone stumbled across you or you saw them coming towards you, you had to scream out, "Unclean, unclean." And the person hearing those words would know exactly what you were saying. And they would run away from you as if you were a wild animal coming to devour you. Now, not taking into account the physical reality of leprosy, your body is eating itself from the inside out and literally falling apart, you would never have any emotional support in your life. And I can only imagine spiritually you would feel dead because you'd be living in total and complete isolation. Now, we might be tempted to say, well, physical leprosy, again, we've kind of contained it and we've almost wiped it out. And even today, because we know more about the disease in leper colonies, we still have them, people are treated with love and respect, and non-lepers can actually go and minister to people who are lepers. So they do have sort of some community. Now, while these realities are true, again, I think we need to look at the spiritual and the psychological realities of leprosy in Jesus' time to see how that might apply to our lives today. And when I was thinking about my sort of spiritual life and over the years, I kind of thought about this. During my late high school and college years, got involved in like the party scene and, you know, I was running around and doing all kinds of crazy things. And I thought about it. You know, you'd be at parties where there's 100 people, or I even went to concerts where there was 100,000 people at these big, huge concerts having a great time, dancing and doing all kinds of things. You know, I thought to myself, huh, after a while of this sort of partying scene, you know, you start to ask yourself some questions. You start to see that, you know, not everything is as wonderful as the commercials make it out to be. And the scales start to kind of fall from your eyes, start to see like, what's going on here? And I started to ask myself questions like, what am I trying to accomplish at these parties and these concerts? And basically the answer was, you know, just having a good time, so really nothing. What was the meaning of life? And I was sort of like, well, I really had no clue. Then I started to think, the people that I'm partying with, do they really care about me as an individual, as a friend? And I learned over the years the answer was not really, and actually sometimes no. So although I was surrounded by tons of people, again, you're at a concert with 100,000 people around you, I started to realize I felt isolated. I felt detached. And a little bit of despair started to creep into my life. When I tried to talk to my partying friends, they're like, I don't want to talk about that. Pass whatever we're doing and let's have a good time. Don't talk about that stuff, right? Then I thought, well, I really can't turn to my churchy friends because I thought they were holier than thou. So I was kind of in this place where, you know, I thought, I'm totally alone. And I felt unclean, right? Like the lepers in today's reading. I felt unclean. I felt spiritually and emotionally exiled from everybody. And as a result, this sort of darkness settled into my life, and I thought, wow, I have a permanent condition of isolation that's only going to end in when I die. So I really kind of felt like those lepers who were sort of exiled into the desert in Jesus' time. Well, long story short, after, you know, a couple years of walking the earth like Cain, trying to figure things out, God led me back into church, and I started to physically attend church. I say that because I got there like at the last second and left right afterwards and talked to anybody. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Right? And I was also pretty ignorant of my faith. I didn't really know why I was going to church. And I was still hanging on to some of the sinful behaviors from my partying years. But something kept me coming back. Every Sunday I was like, all right, I'm going to go again. And I did start to pray. I did start to find some quiet time in my life and say, okay, I need to pray. Then after about a year or so, I went on a retreat. ASU. They had a very good young adult program. So I went on a retreat of young adults. There's a bunch of 20-something-year-olds there. And I met a bunch of people who were really nice. And then after the retreat, like when I came to Mass, they like grabbed me and shake my hand. They talked to me. They broke the rule. You're not supposed to talk to me at church. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm going to church. Leave me alone. So they talked to me. And after Mass, they said, hey, we're all going to get some Mexican food. You want to come? I was like, okay. So I started to make some contacts in my life. And these people really seemed to care about me. They'd ask me real questions of my life, like, how you doing? And really care, you know? They really listened to the answer. And if I said, you know, well, work's kind of struggling at work a little bit there, they'd actually talk to me and sort of encourage me and gave me some really good advice. Then I was asked to be a sponsor with somebody in RCA. Somebody was coming into the church. So I went to the catechism classes with Jeff, who was the gentleman I was sponsoring. And I started to learn a lot at these classes. And some of the pieces started to kind of come together for me. And I had like my first epiphany moment with God. For the first time, I really experienced God in my life. I realized that God is real and I could know God. So I kept coming back, got more involved at church, talking to people, growing spiritually. Then I reached this decision point in my life. I knew I didn't want to go back to the party scene. I'd realized that there's really nothing there for me. But I also knew that I was afraid. I was afraid to really say to God, okay, God, I'm turning my life over to you. I'm allowing you to be the sort of person that's going to dictate what I do with my life. That really scared me. So I talked to one of my friends about it, and he said, listen. He said, God didn't bring you all this way to drop you now. That'd be kind of a horrible God. Come here, come here, come here. Psh, ow, right? Like, he's like, God's not going to do that to you. And I said, okay. So I took a deep breath. I said a deep prayer, and I said, all right. I'm going to try to live out my Catholic faith to the best of my ability. Not the Catholic faith I think it is, but the actual one that's there. And it's not easy, but I found that it's really rewarding. Then I had that moment in time where I was like, okay, it's been about 10 years. I need to go to confession. And I was terrified. I was like, okay, I'm going to hit by lightning. The priest is going to yell at me. You know, I was like, So I made an appointment, met with Father Bob, called him up, said, can we get together? He said, sure. And we spent about an hour together. I talked for about 58 minutes, crying about all the horrible things I'd done in my life, waiting for the lightning to come, waiting for Father Bob to yell at me. And it didn't happen. At the end, he looked at me with a big smile on his face, and he said, welcome home. He said, this is the whole reason why Christ died upon the cross, so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could be put back into right relationship with God, with self, and with your neighbors. And that feeling of isolation was just completely gone. I said, wow, huh, I am a loved son of God. Well, if God loves me, then I should be able to love myself. And if God loves me and I love myself, in a healthy way, obviously, I can offer that love to the other people in my life. And again, there was another epiphany moment where I just felt this incredible love just going everywhere throughout my whole entire being. Now, since that day, I've made mistakes. We all do. You know, at times I want my will back. But ultimately, I've come to realize, you know what? No. God is the one who knows what's best for me. And I have to do everything in my power to try to live that out. Now, over the years, both before the priesthood and after the priesthood, I've realized that my experience is not unique. There are many people who feel very distant from God. There are many people who feel very distant from neighbor. Very people who feel distant from themselves, right? Whatever's going on in our lives, we pushed everything and everyone out of our way. So I know that that's a scary place to be. I also know it's a scary place to be on that edge. Like, do I want to take the next step in my relationship with God? Am I willing to really turn my will over to God? Those are scary places to be. But I've learned, and I've seen it in myself and many other people, that we have nothing to be afraid of. God is our loving Father and wants to give us that love, wants to show us the right way. So if you're far away from God or halfway away from God or want to get closer to God, just trust in God. Ask him. Ask him today like those lepers did. He said, Lord, I want to be cleaned. I know you can do it. And that's with us too. Whether it's physical or spiritual, God wants to cleanse us. God wants to give us that loving healing that we all desperately deserve. So make that commitment again. So we got Lent coming up on Wednesday. Maybe recommit. Ask. Say, God, whatever is blocking me in my relationship with you, in my relationship with myself, and my relationship with my neighbors, take that away from me. I want to be cleaned so that I can experience love.